challenged to further improve the sales of the world's best-selling light sport aircraft. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is John Gilmore, who is the National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA, was recently named to that position. Thanks very much for joining us today, and tell us how Tom Pagini talked you into taking this deal.
Well, it was almost a week moment. My wife and I were back from a trip in Italy, and Tom called me and said, John, I've got a proposition for you. And when he told me that, I said, oh, that sounds fabulous. This is the number one selling aircraft in the world. I was so excited about it. I really thought I must be dreaming, but it's an excellent opportunity. The plane is well positioned. The company is well positioned. And we've got some work to do. I've got a to-do list that's a mile long. So I'm extremely excited, happy to be here, happy to be in aviation, love the people and love what's going on.
Tell us a little bit about your background for people who haven't read the press release. Tell us what brought you to a point where you're ready to take this assignment.
Prior to this, I guess I'll start a few years back, I wanted to be an airline pilot, but it was one of those early recessions and wound up going into a sales position early on. And from there, I was able to be successful. I bought several airplanes, migrated into a position with B.F. Goodrich. From there, I moved over to, we sold a light jet program where I was a sales manager, VP of sales for a company that sold jet shares. We had Falcon 10s, Falcon 20s, Citations. And from there, I worked with Ballistic Recovery Systems in the aviation business. In the meantime, for about 15 years, I was in the computer business with distribution channels with both Compaq and a company called Silicon Graphics. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of experience with distribution channels, with the aviation business, and selling high-end jets. So it was a great opportunity. I liken it to a friend of mine who said that was in the real estate business, commercial real estate, selling $2 and $3 million houses. And I asked him how things were going during the downturn, and he goes, oh, John, I'll tell you, right now, he said, I'm taking first-time home buyers out. We're driving them around to houses that I normally wouldn't do. And in some ways, the aircraft parallels that. You sell jets. People in the jet business took a big hit, and now we have the light sport, which are really the entry-level aircraft, and yet they're fully capable, great airplanes. So I thought, you know, it really was an opportunity to continue in aviation and really exciting and growing part of the market.
That's actually a great analogy, because even a starter home has a kitchen and a bathroom and bedrooms and a hot water heater and all the things that a $4 million home has. It's just that more people are in that marketplace.
That's really true. And the nice thing about light sport with the ASTM certification is you get glass cockpits in your bathroom, so to speak. You're able to get more technology faster in smaller aircraft at lower price points. So you wind up renting an aircraft for $85 an hour, flying it around with a full glass cockpit, instead of renting a Cirrus at $200 an hour, along with a super Cirrus instructor or something. So this is a market that appeals to the existing pilot, the bonanza pilot, and the general aviation pilot. At the same time, you take a 20-year-old who's coming out of college, who's never been to an air show, sits in the airplane and says, I really like how this airplane looks. This airplane looks great. I like how it's got a cool, clean look. I think I could fly something like this. And that's the kind of people we're trying to get.
We're talking with John Gilmore, who is the National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset designed for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with John Gilmore, National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA. Company is based in Connecticut, sells a beautiful and very popular line of light sport aircraft that originate in Germany. John, let me ask you if the current economic setback has changed the aviation industry in ways you think will be permanent.
I believe that what's going on is the debt structure and the way the U.S. economy migrated before, where we were doing everything based on a huge amount of debt, is permanently changed. I don't think credit is going to be as simple. I don't think it's going to be as easy to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. I think people who are fiscally responsible and who look at the economics look at light sport as a way that they can continue in an aviation business at a slightly lower price point without having to get too far extended. So, but I do believe that it's going to be harder to establish a bit of credit. So some of these planes are going to have to pay for themselves on a flight school. For instance, they're going to have to pay for themselves on a lease back. And for years, we've always sort of chuckled about a lease back, because you'll go into an airport, get a plane on lease back, and it won't fly the hours. It'll cost too much, and the lease backs are upside down. Where we've got a couple of anecdotal pieces where folks have been able to make money on a lease back with the light sport aircraft because we have parts availability to keep it flying. It's good economics. They only burn 3 gallons an hour in a flight school environment. So I think those economics changes and the flight changes will allow this part of the aviation to continue.
Now, one of the things that the business jet guys are up against, one of the analysts that we follow, a guy named Brian Foley, who has been pretty accurate with his predictions in the short term, says that in his 10-year forecast, he does not see the business jet business getting back to 2008 levels anytime in the next decade. One of the big pressures there, downward pressures in sales, is the availability of just a glut of nice used business aircraft on the market that we'll have to work through before the sales of new aircraft really rebound. Is there anything analogous to that in light sport aircraft? There are a lot of older planes out there that qualify, and they're going to start to be, as time goes on, newer light sport aircraft coming up on the used market. Do you think you're going to come up to a point where the initial waiting lists are all filled and you start to struggle a little with that?
I think that a lot of those initial waiting lists are pretty well gone. Right now it's people who are either transitioning out of existing GA aircraft or perhaps a flight school that's looking for a more economical way to start flying an aircraft. So much like the jet industry, order cancellations, we don't have quite such a long lead time, so order cancellations are not as big an issue. There are always going to be turnover of airplanes. People either leave the industry, decide to change to a different aircraft. So I think the fact you have more airplanes out there means that more people can take a look at the aircraft and buy into it. But I believe that the future will be really on up, and I don't think the excess aircraft out there are really going to cause too much trouble. You can buy a 1965 Cessna 150 for, you know, $17,000 and not bad shape. Well, but it's a 1963 Cessna 150.
And it still doesn't qualify as an LSA for somebody who needs to fly that way.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we've had people in places that have used this almost as a commuter, with 30 miles per gallon. If you're by an airport, if you live in Atlanta and you've got to get across Atlanta, the traffic is horrible. In Chicago, the traffic is horrible. In L.A., the traffic is horrible. It's a way that you could use it as a commuter vehicle. But again, people have to be educated to that it's available. People who aren't in the aviation industry have to understand that this kind of a product exists, and then they have to be trained on it, and then they have to actually start using it.
Do you think you're past any apprehension by the traditional pilots in the older demographics that these aren't real airplanes? I mean, have they figured out now that these are every bit as capable as any other small GA aircraft?
Yeah, being one of those guys, I think that's true. These guys, we have all come from general aviation and thought it's kind of an ultralight. It is not an ultralight. It is an airplane. It has the capability, more capability than airplanes I've flown. It goes, for instance, the CTLS, it goes faster than a 172, about like a 182. It carries more. It's wider. It's got great visibility. It's got autopilots that talk to the GPSs that track. It does everything that, in quotes, big airplanes do. And I do not believe, unless they've been living under a spinner somewhere, that most GA pilots wouldn't think that this is a real airplane.
Well, John, we look forward to seeing you at various opportunities throughout the year around the country. We wish you all the best success, and thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul.
John Gilmore is the new National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA. Find out more at www.flightdesignusa.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you at Oshkosh. And have a clear and unlimited day.